Cinco de Mayo is one of the biggest party days of the year. There's tacos, quesadillas, chips and guacamole, friends, family, everybody's partying, and of course, lots and lots of alcohol. However, how do you navigate one of the biggest drinking holidays of the year when you're trying to get or stay sober? I'm here to offer a few words of wisdom to anyone out there who is navigating the waters of their sobriety journey today, every day, and one day at a time. I'm Collier Landry. Let's get into it.
Testimony continued today in the most notorious criminal trial.
When I was 12 years old, my testimony sent my father to prison for murdering my mother. I decided at an early age that our trauma should not be what defines us. It's what we choose to do with it that does. I'm here to share my unique perspective on true crime, mental health, society, and popular culture, albeit with a slight sense of humor. I'm Collier Landry, and welcome to my show. Mover Nation, wherever you may be or however you may be watching or listening, thanks for making me a part of your day. I want to say thank you and welcome to all our new channel members and Patreon supporters. I'm going to give some shout outs. First of all, thank you so much to Crystal Chapman, who joined at the Movers level, John, who joined at the Movers level, Mary Sill, who joined at the Movers level, and Dee Maldonado, who joined at the Survivors level. Also, thank you so much to those who joined on YouTube, Sarah Kelly in the Movers level, and Karen Isabel Stewart renewed her membership at the Movers level as well. Thank you guys so much. I greatly appreciate it. Did somebody say memories? Midnight, not a sound from the pavement. Has the moon lost her memory? She is smiling alone. Okay, so a lot of you have reached out to me regarding, you saw a couple of videos that I did. I've talked a little bit about sobriety or just in my own sort of personal life, my own personal journey of just trying to live well, be healthy, be the best person that I can be. And obviously Cinco de Mayo is a huge party day, and I cannot tell you how many times and how many shenanigans I have participated over the years when I was drinking and even when I wasn't drinking. And for me, this all was really brought to light because I have a dear friend who I'm not going to name. But this dear friend of mine, probably about, I don't know, I think about maybe 2 months ago, had mentioned to me that she was going to a counseling session with her husband. And I, you know, they have a really great marriage. And I thought to myself, that's kind of an interesting thing. You know, and not saying that, you know, going into counseling or marital counseling is in any way a bad sign. I mean, everybody should be involved in therapy, in my opinion. It is great for you. I have had a fantastic experience with therapy in my own life, but it definitely caught my attention because I've never heard her talk about it before. And finally, this last week, we got into discussing some other matters that were going on in my own personal life. And she said to me, she goes, her husband so-and-so had started drinking again. And I thought, oh, man, and I don't know. And it's interesting because you make a lot of changes when you decide to go on a path to sobriety, or you try to live a better life, or just even moving on with your life in other ways, right? And you often have to sort of disconnect from a lot of past relationships because in a lot of ways, they bring the past baggage into your life. Most certainly when you're trying to get sober, and if you get into like a 12-step program or anything like that, they're going to say, you know, you got to cut out your old friend group. You can't be hanging out at bars. You can't be hanging out and going to house parties and not have plans and places and structures. However, you also have to live in the real world. And nowadays, and especially like in a post-pandemic world, I feel like a lot of people are maybe not necessarily as connected as they were before the pandemic, but also people are trying to get back to, like, I don't know, some sense of normalcy. I used to go to a lot of parties even when I wasn't drinking and just would have a great time. But then sometimes I would get you know, carried away and go overboard. And I'd wake up the next morning and be like, oh man, like, what did I do? Or why did I talk to that person? Or what? And you just feel like crap, right? and my morning run or my morning workout routine would get pushed to the afternoon, which would get pushed to the evening, which wouldn't happen at all. And then I'd be in bed all day. So not a healthy way, in my opinion, to lead one's life. But again, I'm not saying all people, alcohol, I'm not here to pontificate and tell people what to do with their lives. First and foremost, everyone can make their own choices. But however, when you're struggling with these types of things, it is good to know, at least in my opinion, that there are other people that are on this journey with you. And I am consistently on this journey. I'm a one day at a time person. I got sober on November 5th, 2020. That was the day that I just kind of woke up one day and I said, you know what? And over the years, I had spent many, many times, gone through many iterations in my head of like, oh, I don't want to drink. And I would go for months and months and months without drinking, right? Sometimes a year. And I would just, and then I would come back to it. I would go party. And then I would feel a lot of guilt and shame about it. And so when I was talking to my dear friend about this and about the struggle that she's currently going through with her husband, we discussed all these same patterns. And I was like, she said, well, he got sober when I met him. I got him sober. He was good for a while, but then she started noticing, erratic behavior, or he would smell like vodka. And I was a vodka drinker. I'm Irish and Italian, and I have both the worst drinking genes in the world. I was definitely a vodka drinker. I would also drink high alcohol beers. I loved like those Belgian ales, which have, a million and one calories in them too, which is just something as someone who, by the way, I've lost 12 pounds in the last 3 weeks. And I think I've shared that with you guys. I've been dieting very hard and really just actually using an app called MyFitnessPal to manage and track my calories. Well, what I did just for extra fun is, even though I haven't drank in a very long time, I started putting in my favorite alcoholic beverages into MyFitnessPal to see like, oh, exactly how many calories were in that when I was doing X, Y, and Z. Danielle Tamaro says, my sobriety date is August 14th, 08. And, Danielle, you and I have actually talked on social media and privately about your sobriety journey. And I thank you for sharing that with me. Jen DeSemio, thank you so much for being a member for 11 months. I greatly appreciate it. I use this little app and it's called MyFitnessPal. And I've been using it to track all of my calories and my workouts. And because I started it a month ago. I started on April 5th because I literally realized how much I was eating. I got done at the gym and I think I ate half a protein bar. And then I went to and got some chicken at the Chinese place and then some veggies. And I was just shoveling this food in my mouth because I was ravenous because I burned at least 1,100 calories from working out for 2 hours. And I thought, how many calories am I really eating? And then you apply that to drinking. So I'm going to talk about these strategies, but getting back to my friend and her husband, I was discussing I was like, okay, so he did this. Okay, is this what happened? Did you find the little bottles? How much is he drinking? Because I remember when if I was really tying one on, what I would consume and I would say to myself, God, I'm probably the worst person. And you end up finding out and you get into meeting rooms and you start talking to people and you're like, whoa, wait, how much were you drinking? And, you sort of take a moment of gratitude with yourself of like saying to yourself, to remind yourself to stay in sobriety, that will like, oh, it could always be worse. Like just when I was thinking I was drinking a lot, then I talked to somebody who's drinking, handles of vodka a day. And I'm going, I don't even know how that's like, how did you not die? Like, I don't understand. I remember one gentleman in a 5-step program twelve step program that I was in was telling me, he went to the store and he bought a bottle of Jose Cuervo and a 12-pack of Tecate, and he woke up 2.5 years later, and he was homeless. He had lost his wife, his kids, filed for divorce. He didn't even show up to any of the stuff. He had no job. He fired the whole thing, and he was just literally destitute. And that's when he got help and he became a drug and alcohol rehab counselor. And I was like, that's amazing. Thank you for sharing your story. So, in all of these stories, there's always someone who's had it worse than you and they got better. And that is something to always keep in mind if you are struggling with sobriety or any of these things, because there are people that have way worse stories than you do. And again, for me and my own personal journey and why I share my own personal journey of healing and my own personal story of what happened with my mother and my father is because I always am inspired by hearing from other people who have been through it. Like, oh, you've been through it too. Okay, then I'll listen to you. You know what I mean? So that's where this is meant to come from. So I'm talking to my friend and she's sharing with me. He was even doing things like she's like, I don't understand how he can go to the gym and then he comes home smelling like alcohol. And I was like, oh, because he's got it in his gym bag. Like I used to do that. I used to be like, oh, I'll just have a little, of course because when you get to a point where you're in a relationship and let's say you're maybe hiding it. And I, at that time, was in a relationship with someone who was guilting me over drinking, even though they themselves were a drinker as well. I was hiding it, right? So I recognized that. And I did that a few times. It wasn't a regular thing for me, but it was enough for me to recognize these patterns of behavior and be like, this is not the person that I want to be. One, I don't want to be hiding anything from my partner. And second of all, like it doesn't do any good. And I remember a dear friend of mine who was my co-executive producer of A Murder in Mansfield, John Morrissey. He made a film called American History X, Booty Call, Kingdom Come. He's going to be on the show now that I've got the interview area set up downstairs. We're going to do a live interview. It's going to be fantastic for you guys. He got sober, I think now 30 years ago. Around the same age that I got sober. And he was telling me, you get to a place in your life where you're like, okay, what is this doing me any favors? am I, and you have to, the first point of really, of real impact, of the real personal impact of wanting to get sober or wanting to quit with any sort of addiction or whether you're addicted or not, or whether something isn't good for you in your life. And this can apply also to, it's not just, you know, alcohol or substance abuse or use disorder related. This is also related to, you know, perhaps bad relationships, gambling or any sort of other, any other impulsive behaviors that you might have. Maybe people who have rage problems with people, road rage, or they are extensive risk takers and they're putting their lives in danger a lot of the times for no good reason. And I would argue that substance use disorders do that same thing, but it applies to a grand thing. Whether you're a shopaholic and you've run up, you know, $70,000 in credit card debt that you'll never be able to get out from under, you know, there's all different ways that these things manifest themselves in your lives. But one of the things that you have to ask yourself is, am I being the best person and the best version of myself? For me, it was, am I being the best version of Collier that I can be? Now, granted, I had, was having a successful career. I was enjoying my life. I had many wonderful moments that I've come to really appreciate and cherish. And I thought to myself, you know, I haven't really tarnished those things in my life. But if I continue down this path and I don't necessarily maybe get a hold of this now, it will consume me later on in life. And I will not end up being the best version of myself. And if I really had to admit it, I still wasn't, even on my best days, being the best version of myself that I could be. So it was one of those things, you got to take that first step of that hard look in the mirror and say, am I... And do you even want to be the best version of that person? Because one of the things that I was talking about with my friend, because she was discussing him potentially going into an outpatient rehab. She wants him to go to inpatient. He had already done that in the past. But, you know, the outpatient thing. And I said, well, the first thing that he has to come to this conclusion, because he had 7 years of sobriety under his belt. And maybe that was questionable. She's now questioning whether he was fully sober for that 7 years. But one of the things that you have to really consider is why you want to get sober in the first place, right? Like, why do you really want to be the best version of yourself? Do you want to be the best version of yourself for your spouse or your partner? Well, that's not going to work. For your friends, for your kids, for your family, that's not going to work either. You have to do it for yourself. It'll never stick if you don't. If you're doing it for someone else or you're trying to make yourself better for another person, a cause, my life will be better one day, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. You have to say to yourself, I'm doing this for me. You have to look in the mirror and say, I'm going to do this for me. So a good question is, and a good thought is, okay, so how does this, you're like Collier, thanks for all the tropes about sobriety and everything, but how does this all apply to me if I am in a sticky situation when I am going to a party? And again, this is sort of ubiquitous for all types of situations. It's not just specific to Cinco de Mayo. You know, there are many drinking holidays. 4th of July is just around the, I can't even believe I'm saying that, but well, I guess it'd be in less than 2 months is 4th of July. Definitely the biggest party day here in the United States for sure. And I'm sure there are other party days around the world for people. But definitely a very heavy drinking day, probably sponsored by Budweiser, to be honest with you. So these are, again, ubiquitous tips, tricks, things that I think are really important. And you know, again, at the center of this is always like, why are you doing this? What is your why for doing this? You've got to make the decision to do these things for yourself, because if you don't, it's not going to stick, right? I don't crave alcohol anymore. I had many good times while being intoxicated, and I had a lot of really great fun experiences. I also had really bad times and bad next days and bad hangovers and sweats and a lot of lost productivity after going on drinking on a Saturday night with a friend, and then Sunday trickles into Sunday, you're laying by the pool and you're having hair of the dog, and then come Monday morning, you're not feeling 100%. Again, those were hard looks that I had to take for myself, but also, if you're somebody who drinks and you like alcohol and you lead a great, like, if it's not a problem, it's not a problem, first of all. This is only specific to me or to people who are struggling with sobriety. If you don't have any issues, don't worry about it and be grateful and be thankful that you don't have those issues, because a lot of us, you know, do, and we struggle. And again, I'm here to support that. I'm going to go into some of the comments here. Shago Guitarda says, I've got 4+ years too. I wonder how many of us drinkers sobered up at the start of the pandemic. I sobered up at November 5th, 2020. So I definitely partied hard during the top of the pandemic. By the way, I am drinking a non-alcoholic margarita. And my hope was, I filmed this whole little video this morning in anticipation to share it here with my recipes. And of course, that did not happen. Hi, Cat Loves Catskills. Thank you so much. And I want to share my little recipe. So I was at the gym the other day, and one of the women that I box with, I don't box with her, but she hits the speed bag in the bag. So there's a bunch of us in this like little clique at Gold's Gym that all hit the speed bag and do the workouts, and we all have our little clique. It's kind of funny. And it's a lot of fun too, but she just got a job bartending, and we were sharing some stories, and I was like, yeah, I was like, oh, that's cool. I was like, I'll have to come in and see you while you're working, and I'll order a soda water or whatever. And we were discussing, and she goes, have you tried this specific recipe for a non-alcoholic margarita? And I said, no. And she's like, I'm going to tell you what the key ingredient is. So a couple of things. And after this, later on today, I'm going to a party. I'm going to do more karaoke at my friend's house, which, if you guys saw that video from a couple weeks ago, I hate karaoke. I can't stand it. I hate doing it. My friend always forces me to do it. Now I'm so excited. I sang 5 songs the other night. I've never sang 5 songs on karaoke in my life, but my friend has a professional karaoke system at his house, and he forces everybody to sing, but I'm actually really excited about it. So I'm going to share a couple things. So the hair is just not behaving. My hairdresser watches my show sometimes, and he comments on my hair. He said, you didn't take the tip I gave you. I told you, pull it back and do this. He's so funny. Eduardo's hilarious. I use a non-alcoholic margarita mix. This one's by Fever Tree. This is the light margarita mix, which means it has 50 calories. Still 12 grams of sugar. 50 calories per 4-ounce serving. So I use that. I drink that. Oh, God, I've drank like, I gotta scan this and put this on my app. That's like 36 grams of sugar I've had today. Oh boy. Woohoo. Then I use non-alcoholic, of course. I use pure fresh squeezed lime juice. This is from Santa Cruz. I also buy their lemon juice as well. And I put about 4 ounces of this as well. I like things really tart. and tasty. So I use fresh lime juice as well. And then I use, as a sugar substitute to make it sweeter, you can use stevia, but stevia to me is super sweet, or like monk fruit, super sweet. It's like, you know, 300 times sweeter than sugar. I use what is called allulose. Now, allulose is a low-calorie sweetener, and it's actually derived, and it's keto-friendly as well. It's actually derived from sugar, and it's extracted from fruit, but mostly corn, like corn syrup, and it does not spike your insulin levels, and it doesn't have any sugar. So, for example, 2 teaspoons of this has 0 calories and no sugar. But it adds sweetness, but it's not an overpowering sweetness. It's about 70% the potency of regular white or household sugar. So I add this as well. It's super tasty. But here's the key ingredient, and you can notice it on the rim of this glass, which would be like a salt rim on the margarita glass. And this is what came from my friend Annabelle at the gym, tajine. So tajine, this is a Latin spice. Mostly I see it in Mexican cuisine. It is, I got the reduced sodium one because it was on sale. It was like two for one. I was like, oh, I'll buy the reduced sodium. It has salt in it. It has chili, and it also has a lime flavor. And you put that on the rim of the glass, and it absolutely 100% sets it off. I'm telling you. So that is my little secret for how to make the perfect. And you can apply that, obviously, if you're a drinker, put the tajine on your regular margarita glass instead of your salt rim. It makes it fantastic. Bet you guys didn't know that you were going to have a little bit of rendition of Andrew Lloyd Webber, or you were going to have any cooking and margarita tips, but here you are. So this is what we do here in Mover Nation. And welcome to all the new subscribers. Welcome to everybody. Back to what I was saying. Oh, and you can also buy, obviously, I have them downstairs. I was going to bring them up. I totally forgot until I just remembered it right now. You could also buy like canned non-alcoholic margaritas and bring them to the party, and you don't have to futz with any of this stuff. There's a brand called Recess. They make adaptogen drinks, so they have a little bit of a euphoric feel to it. So you feel good. It's like different mushroom powders and all kinds of adaptogens, and they make you just feel a little euphoric. Nothing crazy. A little bit of CBD makes you feel a little bit relaxed. Those types of drinks, like I said, from Recess, are fantastic. I'm actually going to take those to the party with me, along with my little thing of tajine, which I can also use as a maraca. Tina Luffman, thank you so much for the super sticker. I greatly appreciate it. Try that Jose Cuervo. The Jose Cuervo mixer has got 2 grams of carbs, 10 calories. I'm a margarita girl, and I use the 10-calorie mixer with or without the tequila, but it's good at saving the sugar. That's a great suggestion, Sherry Falls. And actually, Sherry Falls, I had asked about one of my videos. So actually, you're one of the impetuses for me actually doing this live today and talking about all these fun things. Beer. Gen X Granny says beer is welcome. Gen X Granny. It's good to see everyone, by the way. It's good to see everyone. I'm so glad we're here. I've missed doing these lives. They're coming back. Don't worry, because now I've got the whole house like almost completely set up. I just was able to get all my gear out of storage. Now I can make some really cool stuff. And Court McNeil is joining me next week, coming down from freezing cold Alberta, Canada, to join the live and in person. She won't be on the live, but we're going to make some content, and it's going to be great. So I'm very excited by that. A couple of tips and tricks that you guys can use. And if anybody is, again, to get back to the seriousness of us, I was affected by what my friend told me about her husband the other day, and I was like, I've got to make a video. I want to talk about this on Cinco de Mayo, and here we are. And because anybody who's struggling with sobriety in and out of it, there's one of the biggest pitfalls with it, and at least this was for me, is I would feel really guilty. I'd feel guilty after drinking. And it wasn't because I did anything in particular, other than I let myself down. I'd be like, Collier, you were not going to drink last night with your friends, and then you did, and you got carried away, or you didn't get carried away. You just drank, and you weren't going to drink, and you didn't stick by your guns. Because one of the things that they tell you, this when you get into like it's, let's say, a 12-step program or a support group of your preferred support group, is they often say you got to make serious life changes. If you have people around you that are bad influences, you need to sort of remove yourself or extract yourself from these sort of past lives that you had, because if they're not going to support you in sobriety, or they're always going to be like offering you like, hey, here, have a drink, have a shot with us. Hey, have a this, have a that. You know, you're not in the right support system. You need to surround yourself with people who are going to support you. And it's not to say that you don't. Like, I had many friends when I said, hey, look, I'm not drinking. What was I saying? So again, my friend struggling with sobriety. So there's a plan that you have to make whenever you put yourself in these situations. And these are 10, I know I said five ways, five tips and tricks, but there's all these other, there's more to this than meets the eye. So the first part for me that I had to do in my journey for sobriety and in my journey for just trying to just be like, okay, I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to go to this party and get wasted or drink alcohol, period. And so I had to really understand the effects of alcohol. And again, this isn't here to like poo-poo people on, you know, if you are a drinker and you don't have a problem with it, it's okay. But there's very real science that alcohol is not very good for you, because alcohol is a poison. I mean, let's just keep it real. It is a poison. And that's why it makes you feel drunk and euphoric and like, oh, and in uninhibited, because you're putting poison into your body. Now, it's been a poison that's been around for, you know, hundreds of thousands of years, right? But it is distilled spirits. And I could get into a lot of the hooey dooey around it. People call it spirits. It originally came from that name because it puts a bad spirit into you, et cetera, et cetera. But think about how many times in your life you can look at situations and go, that wasn't a good situation that I got into, and I was probably intoxicated, or that person was intoxicated. I mean, look, one of my most popular videos of recent is about Rebecca Grossman, who is the socialite here that was in Thousand Oaks or whatever it is that it's by Thousand Oaks here in a suburb of Los Angeles. And, she was intoxicated clearly and was racing home over her boyfriend and killed two young boys, the Iskander boys, and they lost their lives. Right. That is bad judgment. So we all know that alcohol doesn't necessarily lead to good judgment. It has a bad effect on you. And we can't ignore that fact. And so for me, I had to go, okay, is this any good for me? Okay, so first of all, alcohol affects your central nervous system, and it depresses it, right? That's why you feel drunk. That's why you feel uninhibited. That's why you feel a little like, woozy, woozy, woozy. But ultimately, it's causing damage to you, whether you want to admit it or not. Now, again, people who are abusive of alcohol, this affects a lot. You know, it affects their central nervous system a lot more than people who are occasional recreational drinkers, people who aren't. And again, I'm not here to pontificate anybody. You guys can do whatever you want. I'm sure even in this YouTube video, there are alcohol ads, because that's just the way of the world, right? So, but, you know, if you don't have a problem with it, it's not a problem, right? So I'm not here to pontificate on that. It also, as we all know, it causes severe liver damage. Cardiovascular effect. It's not good for your heart, right? And, you know, while moderate, you know, alcohol consumption doesn't really seem to have any of those effects, it can increase your and lead to things like high blood pressure, irregular heartbeats, cardiomyopathy, which is the stretching and drooping of the heart muscle, stroke, and other heart-related causes, because they always tell, or heart-related issues, because they always say that people, when you have these cardiac issues, like, don't drink alcohol. I mean, or if you have liver problems, don't drink alcohol. If you have hepatitis, for example, don't drink alcohol. You don't want to put a system. Even people who are taking GLP-1 and these GLP-1 agonists like Ozempic, Wegovy, et cetera, for weight loss, like, they say, don't drink alcohol while you're taking it, because it is really hard on your system. It's hard on your pancreas. It's hard on your liver. It's hard on your kidneys, because you're already putting stress on them from taking the medication. But again, I'm not here. It's like, look, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not in law enforcement. I'm not a lawyer. I'm just a guy who's been through a lot of shit. And I've been through a lot of shit when it comes to trying to navigate the world of sobriety. So I'm just sharing my own things. But again, these are things that worked for me, because I had to remind myself, like, okay, Collier, what you're putting in your body really great, because you're spending, you know, hundreds of dollars a month buying superfoods and eating chia seeds at the right time and having, eating goji berries and spirulina and all these things. And you're taking certain things, because I would take certain things before I would drink to hydrate myself, or to make sure that, like, it would remove my, you know, activated charcoal, for example, which helps extract and cleanse your body, right? Cleanse your body of all these things, impurities, so you're less hungover in the morning. So I would take all these little potions and stuff beforehand. I mean, there's many drink remedies that you can take and pills, you know, hangover no more or whatever, you know, rescue, you know, you buy at the liquor store. I would take those, drink those, and then drink and then see how I felt. And they would help for sure, because they would give your body B vitamins and things like that. And one of the things I found out is my grandfather, on my birth side, my Boyle side, my father's father was an alcoholic. And I came to find this out when I was making my film, A Murder Manson. I knew he was an alcoholic. I had heard of that before, but I didn't know if he was a bad alcoholic or a violent alcoholic or what. But one of the things is I found out that he wasn't violent or abusive. He was a happy drunk, which I was like, oh, that makes sense, because I was a happy drunk. So I was never aggressive or violent. I got into start fights or getting, I mean, I was, and I did get in confrontations with people, but I certainly wasn't instigating them, you know, just because people were drunk and stupid in a bar, right? But for the most part, I was a very happy, jovial, life of the party drunk, right? Until I passed out in the corner. And, but my grandfather had the same thing. But one of the things my grandmother would do is she would go to the bar, dig him out in suburban Philadelphia. He was a firefighter. And so he would go to the bar after work, and he would get loaded with his buddies, and my grandmother would have to drag him out and give him like B vitamin injections to make him feel better, to kind of sober him up, and to replace all the nutrients that were depleted from drinking alcohol. Because what it does is it does deplete, when you drink alcohol to an excessive point, it does deplete your body of nutrients. And again, you know, this is common knowledge you can pull off the internet. And again, I'm not a doctor. But I'm just telling you, I spent so much time researching all of this when I was trying to get sober, that these were things that I was like, okay, I'm a fact guy. I need data in front of me. Like, tell me why this isn't going to work, or tell me why this is going to work. Like, I want to see the data. Okay, cool. And I watched many a YouTube video, and I read many an article on websites, like from the Mayo Clinic, etc. 12-step programs. And I learned so much from talking to people and even talking to doctors, like, okay, what is this doing to my body? And when I made that decision to get sober, that was the biggest key. I could relate back to that and be like, okay, they gave me this information. This isn't good. And again, you know, I wanted to mitigate that I wanted to lessen or restrict or eliminate my drinking before I developed what is commonly known as alcohol use disorder, where it would get to a certain, look, I was still in my 40s. Thank God. I was in my 40s, and when I hit my 40s, this is when I made this decision, because I thought, if I don't do this now, like, it will impact the rest of my life. Like, now is the perfect time. I mean, it's always the perfect time to make these decisions, to get healthy, whatever it is, whether you want to lose weight, whether you want to get sober, whether you want to make better choices in your life about relationships or business or whatever. The time is always now to do these things, to take action on your mental health and your well-being. The time, every time you look at your watch, you should say now. Now is a good time to do this. So don't wait. Don't hesitate. Take that first step. But it's always good to have a plan in place. So having that data for me was the reason why I was like, hey, I'm gonna make these decisions. Now, I'm going to take a moment really fast. Marie Hathaway, thank you so much for the super sticker. Marie Hathaway, I am very sorry about your Denver Nuggets last night. I'm also really sorry to anyone who's watching the NBA playoffs, because after this particular series between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves, it's not even worth watching, in my opinion, unless, I guess, if you're a Knicks fan or whatever. But this series is a knockdown, drag out, I bet you it goes 7 games, heavyweight championship fight between the Denver Nuggets and the Minnesota Timberwolves. What a game. It was like watching a finals game last night. It was incredible. I'm a basketball and a sports fan, if you guys don't know that. Love basketball. We're right in the middle of the NBA playoffs. And Marie Hathaway is a diehard Nuggets fan. I think the Nuggets might prevail, but I also, man, the Timberwolves were tough last night. Woo! What a game. If you are not watching those games, this is the best series to watch by far. Anyway, 10 tips for you to navigate your sobriety on Cinco de Mayo. So as I was saying, understanding alcohol's effects. That was the first key for me. Like, why is it doing this to me? Why do I want to get healthy? What am I putting into my body that is not good that I want to keep out of it? Two is before you go to the party, you want to set clear intentions. Before the celebration begins, if you set these clear intentions with yourself, now whether that's staying completely sober or if you're just trying to limit your alcohol intake, if you have a plan in place, you're going to succeed with it, right? So prior to getting there and putting yourself into this environment, you want to have these intentions that are really clear. Three is you want to surround yourself with a support system. Now, granted, it might not seem like the cool thing to do to go to the party and pull your friend aside or call your friend before the party or say to people, hey, I'm really trying to stay sober today. If you could just help me out on that. I know that it might not seem the popular opinion. People might think, oh, you're dragging me down or whatever. The truth is that you'll be really surprised that when you admit that to people, that they actually really are on your side. Because if they're really your friends, they want you to be the best person you can be. They want you to feel their support and their love, and they want to support you. They want you to feel welcome in an environment, and they don't want to pressure you. If you're like, this isn't good for me, I mean, just think about it in this terms. If you're in a situation where you're engaged in, you know, dangerous activity, let's say you're drag racing, driving 100 miles an hour down a residential street, and you're like, you tell your friends, hey, I really need to stop doing this. Like, I'm afraid I'm going to kill somebody or myself, or I'm going to get arrested, or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think they're going to be like, oh yeah, well, okay, here, let me help you buy some fuel. Let's go together. Let's drive reckless together. No, of course not. They're going to support you and be like, okay, that sounds like a really good strategy. Let's make sure, maybe I'll take your keys from you, or maybe I'll make sure that you don't speed and have this reckless behavior, which is going to endanger you and other people. Because again, if you have a problem with alcohol and sobriety, also the thing is that you don't want to engage in this activity and then get into the automobile and cause an accident where you either jeopardize your own life or the lives and compromise the lives of other people, or worse. Like I said before, in many a show, my father's cellmate for 10 years in prison was a man who was convicted of manslaughter because he was intoxicated and killed somebody and woke up in the hospital saying what was going on. He was handcuffed to the bed and his whole life was impacted and changed. And it was a really, really big deal, but obviously it scared him straight. But it can change lives. So again, when you surround yourself with a support system, you're going to have people that are going to be there for you, and you're not bringing them down. It's not like, oh God, we got to watch over Collier. We got to watch over Erica. No, they're going to be supportive, and it's going to make them feel better about their choices too. Four is you want to choose alcohol-free alternatives. Now, I showed you my little recipe right here on how to make the perfect non-alcoholic margarita. Again, remember the tajin. It is all about the tajin on the rim. I'm telling you, it is amazing. Actually, when I was a bartender, which I was a bartender in my early 20s, and I never drank when I was a bartender. I mean, very rarely, very, very rarely. Most certainly didn't get intoxicated. And it was a very weird thing because everybody else worked with was drunk all the time. It was kind of funny. But yeah, interesting. And then you get out of the bar and you're like, oh, woohoo, let's party. So choosing alcohol free alternatives, whether that's soda, whether that's soda water, whether you're drinking water, whether you're making non-alcoholic margaritas, whether you're drinking like nowadays, there's tons of like non-alcoholic low calorie beers, which have like zero alcohol and sometimes zero calories. They're wonderful. They have like a hop refresher made by a company called Lagunitas or Lagunitas. It's a Southern California brand. They make amazing non-alcoholic beers. They make great beers as well, but they make these non-alcoholic alternatives, which are really great, low calorie, and no alcohol. And it's a great way to enjoy a beverage and feel like you're a part of the party. Now, number five is my absolute favorite. And again, when I go back to my app that I use on my phone to monitor my own personal health and fitness and what I'm putting in my body, consuming calorically, food, et cetera, tracking my exercise. One of the things I think about is all of the empty calories that I would be consuming, because alcohol has empty calories in it. Beer is so high in calories. Margaritas, all this sweet, flavorful. They're wonderful tasting. They have so much sugar in them, and you're just literally consuming. And alcohol itself is distilled from sugar. So you're putting empty calories in your body. If you think about it, a shot of vodka, I believe, has 95 calories. That's an ounce and a half here in the United States, a shot of vodka. And how many people are really measuring their shots of vodka when they're putting them in at a party? Probably not. Or tequila, you know, 100 calories a pop. You're not measuring that. And you're putting in sugary substances as well to make it all taste better. Again, you're consuming a bunch of calories. So what I say is, my favorite part, focus on the food. Look, if you're going to a party, Cinco de Mayo, or where whatever holiday party you're at, I mean, this is, again, ubiquitous. You're going to have amazing food. Instead of spending those calories, first of all, putting yourself in a position where you're compromising your sobriety if you're trying to get sober or stay sober, but also eating the food, you don't have to worry about the excessive calories from the alcohol or even soaking up the alcohol because you don't have alcohol to soak up. So you probably won't even eat as much. I mean, I know when I stopped drinking and I would go to parties, I used to get ravenous after I would drink alcohol because I was trying to soak up the alcohol to sober myself up, right? You go to the taco truck at 2 a.m. when you leave the bar, like, oh, and here in L.A., they have the taco trucks, but they also have the vendors with the bacon-wrapped hot dogs with the onions and stuff. Now, I'm not a hot dog fan, but when you're a little tipsy, those things sure as hell taste good. So that helps you. And if you're not drinking, you'll eat less and you'll feel better. So to me, it's a win-win. Practicing mindfulness is number six. And when you stay present and mindful throughout your celebrations, you're paying attention to how you're feeling physically and emotionally. And if you continually check in with yourself, you're gonna stay true to those intentions that you set in tip number two, setting those clear intentions. Number seven is engaging in fun activities. Look, there are many activities that don't involve drinking at parties, right? Playing cornhole, playing darts at the bar or pool. Like, you don't have to drink to actively participate in those things. Bingo, I can't even believe I'm saying that. Bingo, or whatever sort of games you're playing. First of all, you'll probably be the best at them because you'll be the sober person, but also it gives you something to focus on because one of the things is when you're trying to quit drinking or trying to, you know, get over a substance use disorder. And for me, like I said, I drank. So that was my vice of choice. The more things that you have to like distract you from that, the better. You're not going to be thinking about drinking if you're actively like participating or engaging in conversation or doing an activity. You're not going to be consumed with, oh, I should be drinking, or maybe I won't drink, or, oh, but you're taking yourself out of that situation mentally and you're engaging in another activity. And that is that was a huge part for me, even in creativity, right? When I would get into my creative flow, I would all these other things that I wanted to do, they just kind of fall by the wayside. And it's like, okay, I'm making content now, or I'm creating, or I'm filming, you know? So again, those are all activities that when you engage in those activities, it'll take your mind off of what you're doing. Number eight is have an exit plan. You always want to know, like, okay, is it going to get down to this time of the night? It's going to wind down. You know, oftentimes you can either, it can be too early for a cup of coffee or too late for a drink or too late for a cup of coffee and too early for another drink. I don't know. A lot of people can go sideways on that. So if you're feeling like you're going to be lingering at the party and then you might kind of be tempted to drink as the party winds down, as there's less people around, that if you've told everyone you want to be sober and then there's less people and now you're like, oh, maybe I'll have just one, get yourself out of there. Like, seriously, get yourself out of there. Have that exit plan in place. I'm Irish and I can say that they always call it the Irish goodbye, where they just disappear. It's what people have said. I have no problem with doing that. I remember saying to my girlfriends at the time, be like, honey, okay, I don't want to say goodbye to 100 people. Let's just, I'm going to go out the back. You're going to go out the side. We're going to do this and then we're going to be done and we're going to go home. Right. And that's the thing is, have that exit plan in place before you get in there, because you don't want to fall back into temptation. Because if you made it through the night and you're feeling really good about yourself, the last thing you want to do is, if at the party winds down, you sneak a little drink, or you might feel tempted later when there's less people around to hold you accountable, get the hell out of there. That's just my advice. Then number nine is reflecting and recharging. So after the festivities wind down, you want to take some time to reflect on your experience and celebrate those sobriety milestones. Like, there's nothing better than looking back and going, wow, That I had so much fun, because that to me was the biggest thing when I chose to get sober, quit drinking, was, look, I'm not going to, I thought, well, I'm not going to have as much fun. I was floored at how much more fun I had at parties and how much later I would stay at them and how much, I wouldn't be like passed out or be like, I'm going to sleep. I would be having fun and I would be engaging. And, and I'd be watching other people falling all over themselves or being silly and stupid. And I go, well, thank God that's not me. Or go, boy, that's not going to feel good in the morning. Somebody can go to the bathroom. Somebody's puking in the toilet. Be like, oh, I don't miss those days. And that's the thing is you'll have these moments where you feel really proud of yourself and you'll say, wow, I made it out, but God, I feel so much better. You'll wake up the next morning and you'll be refreshed. You're like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym right now. Whereas normally you would think back to yourself and be like, oh, I'd be really hungover. Or maybe I'd be vomiting, or maybe I'd still be drunk. I know how that feels. You wake up the next morning and be like, wow, I'm still really buzzed. Like, that's not good. And then maybe you carry the party into the next day. You won't have any of those temptations because you made a plan and you stuck with it. And the amount of pride you're going to have in yourself for doing just that is, I promise you, is going to negate all the other factors that you think are going to affect you. It's going to make you feel amazing. Trust me. Number 10, and the final tip on how to stay sober during these types of holidays, is remembering your why. Like, why did you decide to make this choice to get sober in the first place? Why did you want to curb your drinking? Why did you want to cut back on your drinking? Why did you want to cut it out altogether? Think about the why, and that goes back to what I was saying at the top of the program, which is, you need to do these things for the right reasons, right? You can't do it for other people. You can't do it for my wife, my kids, my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my husband, but you've got to do it for yourself, because that ultimately is going to lead you and keep you accountable, keep you responsible, keep you feeling good about the decisions that you've made as well. You're going to feel really empowered by your decisions to stay sober if you remember why you're doing it in the first place. And that to me is the most empowering thing, is remembering that why, and the rest just takes care of itself from there. Mover Nation, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much to all my channel members and Patreon supporters. And for more exclusive content, behind the scenes videos, monthly VIP meet and greets and watch parties, please consider supporting me on Patreon or by becoming a YouTube channel member. If you like this video, check out this one right here or this one right here. And don't forget to like and subscribe, because it helps with the algorithm. On that note, I'm Collier Landry. I'll see you on the next one. Good girl, Marisol. Good girl.